B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Do you feel like your dad could use an explanation of esports? Well, we're going to try. That's coming up today here on Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, June 24th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming.
Whoa.
Wow.
That was kindly.
There
that
you
was
go.
Weird.
Wow.
Why did that happen? Okay.
Anyway, coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll go over what we were doing over the weekend. Plus, yes, we will try to explain esports for your dad. But
awesome.
We start today talking about Epic Games. They seem to be on a pretty serious redemption arc, giving a lot of their employees some much needed vacation time. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
We just need money.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. And yeah, I mean, it feels like for the last, year and a half, Epic has really kind of been in the crosshairs for a
only
lot
because
of
they dare to make their own store, their right.
See, that was going to be my question too. When you mentioned the redemption arc, I'm trying to think. I'm like, sure, I don't like Fortnite. It looks kiddie. But what have they done that they need to redeem themselves from?
Right. Well, I mean, there have been a few things. I mean, we can all agree, I think, that for the better part of 18 months, their esports scene was kind of an unmitigated disaster.
And because they're making money.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know what those two things have to do with one another.
Straight up sucks.
It was terrible. There was problems. Like, a company that is making that much should not be having problems with LAN issues. You should not be having cheating problems.
Yeah.
They took the approach of everyone can play. That ended up kind of being, well, the World Cup isn't here yet, but we'll find out just how that's going
to
work out for them.
But those aren't unique even to Fortnite. Everyone
that's
has
fair.
Problems like that.
And more recently, they've had the issue with the Epic Store where, well, I wouldn't say it's an issue. People have had an issue with the Epic Store.
That's not Epic's fault. Why am I defending Epic? This is
how
so
is it,
weird.
Wait a minute. How is their store having problems not Epic's fault? Like,
wait,
actually,
no. The store is having problems? Or are you just talking about people who
I'm
like, Epic Store?
We're talking about the people who have an issue with Epic for making a store. Which is dumb.
Right.
Yeah,
and
that's not Epic's fault.
Most recently, we've had the issues with some accusations of unfair labor practices, which, I mean, that is pretty industry-wide, but of course, Epic was one of the ones named in it. And it seems like, kind of recently, Epic has one at a time taken these steps to address each of those issues. They picked up Psyonix, who are the makers of Rocket League, and they hired Nate Nanzer. So they're making a legitimate effort with their esports scene.
Well, it's a bigger effort than we've seen them make previously, right? We've seen them try all these weird sort of, you know, out-of-the-box, you know, outside-the-box sort of plans for Fortnite esports. And what they hadn't done was just hire people who've already been successful at building esports brands. They've done that now. Psyonix has a good legacy with Rocket League and building the scene of that esport. Nate Nanzer obviously done an amazing job building the Overwatch League. Now it's just a question of, can that be translated to Fortnite? And how do you translate it?
I mean, I just think that there is a lot of industry animus for really any company that's sitting on top of the mountain, right? Like, whether it's deserved or not, if you have put out a monster success that every one of your little cousins annoys you about every time you go to Thanksgiving, I'm speaking personally now.
sounded like it might have happened to you recently.
I'm just saying, like, there's you know, like, you can get annoyed with the company, and you know, we hear these kind of like broad stroke accusations of mistreatment, mismanagement in the video game industry, and I stop to think about it, Robbie, as you pointed out, like, it's rarely Epic that's at the center of stuff like that.
That's what I was about to ask. Have we reported on Epic having mass layoffs or mass, you know, protests within their office.
They weren't
the ones laying people off during
E3. They weren't the ones who were sack tapping employees in the break room, apparently, Riot. You know what I mean? Like,
had to go talk to Parliament or Congress.
Well, right.
They were just the other day in a meeting where there was also an EA representative with the famous surprise mechanics line. It was the Epic representative that said, you know what? Yeah, we can actually do more about microtransactions.
Right. So, I mean, you've got that. You've got, you know, the fact that, Epic is, they make so much money and they're responsible for, you know, so much development through their engine and their support. Like, that's really been industry changing. I don't know that Epic really kind of deserves sort of the animus that the rest of
definitely not the brunt of it.
I had mentioned it sort of near the beginning of the segment, but now, you know, they're giving employees some significant vacation time.
It's less of they're having a redemption arc, and I think we're just starting to realize, you know what, Epic's not actually as bad as we've been making them out to be.
Epic seems to be turning into the new Blizzard, right? Blizzard is becoming way more Activision-like.
I don't know if I'm willing to admit that.
Blizzard is becoming way more Activision-like with every single person that walks away. They are firing people, but more importantly,
people are leaving.
From the top down, people are leaving out of that company. So it really does seem like Epic might be the one that's doing it right.
Well, Epic's got the money to be able to do so. And I also think that when you have a company this large that has had so much success in recent years, it behooves you to become a industry leader. It behooves you to say, you know what, we're at the top of the hill, so let's try our best to affect change from where we are.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports Shoals 97.9 FM and 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama. We're currently talking about Epic Games, their decision to give a bunch of their employees, like, what is it, like 2 weeks worth of vacation?
It's kind of in response, I believe, to those kind of abusive labor practices claims.
Well, crunch, specifically. Yeah,
they're giving the entire Fortnite development staff a 2 week vacation from June 24th until July 8th. During that time, no official competitive tournaments are going to be run, although two content updates will drop like normal. I would presume those are probably in the can.
Yeah, it's probably just a switch.
Exactly. So in addition, Epic is looking to hire on 200 more staff to help distribute the workload that Fortnite generates.
Ooh, good guy, Epic.
Well, and again, this is the sort of stuff that we're saying is just common sense for, you know, a company this size to be doing. And when Nate, you brought up Blizzard, and I think it's really important to highlight Activision Blizzard, is just as successful as Epic is. Of course, Fortnite is on a whole nother planet, but that's still another very, very successful, wealthy company.
Yeah, sure. No, the core of that planet that they're on is called World of Warcraft.
Exactly. And so Blizzard has had the money and the resources to be able to do similar things. And as you said, in the past, they were the company that everybody wanted to go work for.
Yeah.
And now what I see Epic doing is not just making a play for that space, but also saying that, guys, we can be able to save this esports scene and at the same time save the mental health of our workers. Not just with one vacation. We'll see what they do in the future.
Right.
But I think this is a really good start for Epic in terms of their public perception.
Is Epic not doing exactly like in a one-to-one sort of way, answering one of the biggest criticisms that gamers have of developers when we sit around and go, dude, we spend all of our money with you. Like, you make billions of dollars, right? What have they done? They've done two things. Like, they've put that towards their staff by wanting to hire 200 more people, right? And they've also put that into their store, giving developers who are working with them a larger cut of their revenue. That's taking money out of their pocket. But if you're making so much and your margins are so high, you can go, well, Why don't we just make this ecosystem a little bit more fair and a little less predatory?
What's so great about this, too, is what they're doing shouldn't be this big sort of, charity to their workers or whatever. This is normal stuff that companies should
totally
be doing.
I agree.
But because the rest of the industry is in such a like toxic place right now and is just using people, well, they can do this for like...
Well, and it comes down to the bottom line.
Yes.
Comes down to the profit margin, yes, of that company. You know, they're working their workers harder. They're wanting to push more units and wanting to monetize their game even more. And, you know, like that's really what it is. If there wasn't so much greed or lust for money, then maybe these practices wouldn't be so shocking.
I'll say this. There are development teams and development companies that, you know, go out there and do things specifically to make the ecosystem of gaming better. And I feel better spending my money with those types of companies.
See, now you're starting to get into something important, because this is sort of the thing that, you know, like Whole Foods learned, right? When you can present yourself as the alternative, people feel better spending their money with you.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, Epic thinks that that's ground that they can make good on. And you know what? I'm kind of impressed by that strategy.
Wow, yeah. What a weird world where four people in their 30s just got on the air and defended Epic and Fortnite. That is not how I saw that going.
No, what I will do is I may not like Fortnite, but I'll defend it to the death of it, because what people do is organically pick that game up and they loved it. And I would never tell millions of people that they shouldn't enjoy the game that they love to play, nor should the company that made a bunch of money off it be held responsible just because they became popular. No, grow up. Everybody grow up.
Well, you've heard what we think, but we want to know what you think. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And let us know what you think about this whole Epic thing. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to try to explain esports to someone maybe like your dad, right?
Or my dad.
Or your dad.
Or Robbie's dad.
That's still ahead here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we're going to go over what we got up to over the weekend. Stick around. Our weekend recap is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP Daily. What's going on? My name is Nate Bender. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the B-Pod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, as well as Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then make sure you visit bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery.
That's right.
So, it's Monday.
It is Monday.
And we generally do our weekend recap at
AKA
this part of the show.
The personal update.
It is. This is the personal update.
It really is.
Of Checkpoint XP.
Usually Joe talks about doing something old.
It's sort of our buffer segment where we don't have to have notes. We don't have to know
we
things.
We talk about ourselves.
It's very intermittent that we actually get to do that on the show.
Yeah,
so.
Usually during the show throughout the week, We're usually booked wall to wall most days.
I mean, usually it's pretty damn busy. I mean, you know, we've had E3. We've had a lot of really big esports news that happened this week. So there's just a lot to go over. And so this is a nice little segment where we just kind of get to talk about ourselves.
Down.
Now, that said, I literally played Fallout for 2 days and that's it. I didn't do anything else.
76 or 4?
Both, yeah.
Yes. Just Fallout in general. Yes. Okay.
Dang, you gave Bethesda all the money.
I did. Well, no, actually, here's
no, he actually didn't give him any money.
Hey, time is money, friend.
Here's my strategy. What I mean.
Yeah, kind of. Here's my strategy, because I am particularly broke at the moment. Like, I had car repairs and tax bills.
I mean, it happens.
And I'm trying so hard to build up a savings again.
We just need money.
Trying so hard. And I just said, all right, well, I'm doing nothing this week.
So you've had one of those life is constantly just kicking you with bills.
Yes.
Thing. Dude,
yes.
I
it's
feel
so,
you so
it's
much.
It's terrible. And, I went out to lunch today with a colleague, a former teacher of mine, my high school teacher that taught me radio, right?
Oh.
And
how do you feel about the studio, by the way?
He thought it was awesome. It was great. It was great. But here he told me a story. He went he drove to, I think it was his brother's wedding in Wisconsin, and was like using it as an opportunity to clear his head and enjoying driving. And he's like, you know, like two towns from getting to where he was, and his whole car just his engine was shot.
Dang.
Shot. So, like, you know, I'm sitting here bemoaning, like, what was it, $2,500 for my transmission. He had to pay, like, $23,000 to buy a new car. Like, that's, how insane is that?
You know what's insane?
I feel it, man.
Is that I wish I wasn't so riddled with my student debt that I could have $23,000, even conceptually, to just go have.
To like make that kind of commitment?
They won't even let me borrow $23,000.
Yeah, no.
If something like that happens to me or Norris, we're getting like a $2,000 loan that we're now paying on and getting a used car that's probably going to die the next week anyhow.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So, I mean, you know, count your blessings all the way around.
Oh, I know, right?
Senior instructor, man.
I'm just saying, like, it has a way of putting your problems into perspective, right?
Yeah,
sure does.
You know, like,
sure.
I was like, it's kind of hard to feel sorry for myself now.
Yeah,
you know, because like, yeah, the people definitely have it worse. Anyway, so yeah, sitting around, I really like my goal was to not go anywhere, not spend any money, not do Postmates, eat here at the house.
Have you
food
got,
at the house?
Have you got strong yet? By the way, in Fallout 4.
What?
He's one of the companions. Strong.
Oh, no.
He's a super
inappropriate.
Yeah, I'm like,
find him. He's great.
Okay.
No, Strong's
he's
awesome. Great.
Okay.
I knew what he was saying, but the way he phrased it was
just
have you found
super
Strong
weird.
Yet?
Super weird. So I was struggling in Fallout 4. I was struggling to like Fallout 4, right?
Too difficult, right?
Too difficult, but
really?
Like
Fallout 4 is so likable.
Because I feel like I'm level 15.
Okay.
The only NPC that I have any kind of relationship with is Preston Garvey.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Right? I'm like...
Get to Diamond City.
Yeah, I'm struggling to get to Diamond City.
It's a lot better.
Yeah. Just go.
Just go.
Just go. Just go.
If you run quick enough, nothing can kill you.
I'm sort of making my way there. Although I did find this sort of like jacked up Assaultron that like has me taking it to the General Atomics factory. I think that's DLC.
Yeah,
I think that's DLC. Yeah. So I'm like sidetracked into doing that. So I feel like either I'm gonna get my face stomped in by what I'm trying to take him to go do.
At 15, probably. Yeah.
Well, I've got a two shot pipe pistol that seems to be killing most everything that I can.
That's not good enough.
No.
No.
Okay. I don't know what's there. So
it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that it's robots.
Go to Diamond City.
Just go to Diamond City.
Go to Diamond City first. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so yeah, and I was making use of the double XP weekend on 76.
Ah, of course.
There it is.
Well, like you, I just played a whole bunch of games. Finally finished up my most recent playthrough of the main campaign of Borderlands 2, so now it's on to the DLC and stuff like that. But I also took the girlfriend out to see Toy Story 4.
How was it?
Did it wreck you?
It was actually really, really good. It didn't wreck me, but I could see why it would some people. This is finally like a definitive end. Like, I don't see how they, even if they wanted to, how they would do it.
I'm not invested in Toy Story at all.
No, it's done. But I really liked it, and Keanu's character was top shelf.
Well,
man.
Speaking of Keanu, I finally saw John Wick 3 this weekend.
Yo, son, you just now seeing it?
Best knife fight ever?
It's a great
Which
knife fight.
One?
The one
there
when
was
they
like
were...
three great knife fights.
What?
In that movie.
Yeah, it was. There's like three great knife fights.
Well, anyway, it was the one like right near the beginning when they're in like the sort of place
in the Chinese
where
shop, yeah.
Smashing
yeah.
the windows oh, yeah. and taking the things
yeah,
out.
My man got hit by 18 knives simultaneously.
Yeah.
It
no.
was great.
John Wick 3 was awesome. I was really into that. We also had a going away party for a friend who's moving. So that was both nice and sad. I mean,
bittersweet.
Not that he's like moving super far, but like he's moving to Mount Pleasant.
That's not far.
That's far enough.
It's far
I know
enough
exactly how far.
Far enough to where you won't see him.
Far enough
often.
I ain't visiting.
Yeah, far exactly. Far enough that I used to see him once a week, and I'm now seeing him maybe a couple times a year.
Yeah.
It's that
all
kind
right,
of distance.
That's fair.
So.
Yeah, no, you'll start to like be like, it's just me and Lansing. At least there's stuff to do there.
Yeah, exactly.
Say, why would he move to Mount Pleasant?
For a job.
Job.
Yeah. The only reason you would move, well, that and Central.
Is he working at the school?
No, he's working at a bank there, I think, or something like that.
What?
It's banks down here, bro.
Yeah, like that's bananas. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, like not like as a teller. I mean, it's a career move.
Right.
You know
right.
I mean? But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like he just working.
No,
at
he
the bank.
He works like in like mortgages.
I would just like to point out that Joe's weekend updates are so boring. He updates us on other people he knows.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
What did you do this weekend?
I held a going away party. Jeez.
Dang, man.
And I saw John Wick 3.
All right.
Well, good on you.
Please do us proud here, Norris.
The girlfriend's mom was in town, so
okay.
So we're about to get an update on the girlfriend's mom.
Because at least we went to the DIA, which is one of my favorite places.
That's always a good time.
Detroit Institute of Arts, and I got to sound really smart about art and sculpture and architecture, which I could tell was very impressive. But I also spent a lot of the weekend watching the Women's World Cup. Which y'all know me, I'm very excited. I've been turned up about it for the past few weeks. We're in the knockout stages now, so go USA and all that jazz. But it's been very exciting. People been getting their heads busted open and tripped and well, the women don't flop, you see.
I'm aware.
Yeah, the women don't flop. I mean, people have been crying and it has been a beautiful mess of beautiful. Soccer. It's been so great.
To be honest, competitive. Like, it puts men to shame. Remember the first time I saw my women's UFC fight? I was like, oh my God, they're killing each other.
Yeah, women's UFC is so much fun to watch. It's particularly brutal. It's
brutal.
Crazy.
I mean,
yeah.
Ronda Rousey got her face fractured in like 8 different places.
That might have been the first one I saw. Wasn't she like kneed in the face?
Yes!
That was the first one that I saw.
It was so hard to watch. Yep. Like, oh my God. Somebody stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty bad, but it makes for really great entertainment soccer to watch. I'll
you know, I actually, I watched, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know, half of a quarter? Is
half
that?
Of a quarter?
You mean half?
Yeah, something like that.
Half of a half?
I ate dinner while it was on in front of me, so
oh,
I was
that's
watching
fine. Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I don't know how long I was watching.
Yeah, it's
I
easy to forget.
Yeah, because it's just bouncing back and forth.
It's easy to forget.
But like, I was really impressed by how competitive it is.
It is.
It's so, like, those girls are out there playing their asses off.
They are, and I really enjoy it, and of course not just because we have the best team in the world, but also because it finally feels like other teams are really competitive. Usually there's only about 3 teams that really are working.
I think I was watching one of the England teams.
England is up there.
Yeah.
Then you got France.
And they were just
England was dominating.
Who were they playing? Venezuela? I don't know. But it was a South American country that, like, and obviously soccer is huge down
so
there.
So it was Argentina.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
And they were not giving them an inch. Like, it was all on Argentina's side the entire time. And I'm like, are they Is there like is there
Argentina
was there
a, can't get out? That's
yeah,
the
right.
Point.
Like there's no penalty box in this game. They're not playing at a deficit. Like it was just the pressure was on them the entire time, and you could tell that they had no answer.
They
it
had
was,
no answer.
It was really impressive to watch.
I can't wait till Friday because Friday is the U.S. versus France, and those are the two best teams in the world. Well, in Germany, but pretty much the winner of U.S. France is, in my opinion, the winner of the World Cup. Straight up.
All right.
So I can't wait till Friday. I can't wait.
Well, there you go. That's our week on What Were You Doing? Connect with us.
What's happening?
I mean, I guess. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Let us know what you were getting up to this weekend. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily. Oh, does your dad need a little bit of help understanding esports? That's all right. We've got a segment designed for him. Esports for Your Dad's coming up next as I wheeze into the microphone here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Do you think you could get your dad to understand esports? That's what we're going to try to do here on Checkpoint XP. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. If you had to break esports down to someone, say, like your dad, right, might it be a difficult challenge? Well, that's what we've tasked ourselves here today on a brand new segment that we call Esports for Your Dad.
Yeah. No, no, man.
So, me and my brother, whenever we're together, we always talk League of Legends. It's the first thing we always talk about. So the other day, we were actually both helping my dad get the pool open, and while we were doing that, we were just talking League of Legends.
How did you find a way to make this boring, too?
Shut up. So, while we're doing that, though, we're just talking League of Legends, and my dad eventually just looks up and he's like, I don't know that I've understood a word you guys have said in the last 25 minutes. Hand me that.
No, it is a language unto itself, right? Like, video games and esports, by extension, really do have its own sort of coded language, right?
And Triple Time from MOBAs.
And I mean, everyone kind of makes fun of the segments that the news used to do. Oh, if your kids are using LOL, what does it mean, right?
And yeah, lots of love.
Listen, that's a little bit what we're doing here today, right?
Yes.
We want to make sure that esports is inclusive, and so that, you know, someone like your dad cleaning the pool might actually be able to understand.
Robbie
it.
Has a question.
And to that, Norris, what the heck is a MOBA?
A MOBA is a multiplayer online battle arena. That's a type of game where you have five people play another five people.
Okay, now one more thing. Don't talk to me like I'm a five-year-old. I'm someone's dad.
Right, yeah. I mean, like most people have context for traditional sports. It's a five-on-five game. Everyone picks a champion they want to play as and tries to defeat the other team.
Yeah.
At its core, that's what a MOBA is.
That's right.
Pretty straightforward.
And when you talk about MOBAs, League of Legends is king of the MOBA scene right now.
So do people abbreviate that LOL as, you know,
right.
Like you see?
We do not. No. We just say League.
Yeah, we just say League.
That's actually an important distinction because I actually do see people who are newer to esports refer to it as LOL, and that, I mean, yes, there is LOL esports and stuff like that, and that's part of their branding, but that's not the main way that people kind of use shorthand for League of Legends. Usually the shorthand is League.
Exactly. And if we're talking about the North American scene in particular, we're talking about the LCS.
So what does LCS actually stand for?
Yeah, that's the League Championship Series. That would
okay,
be the
that
North,
makes sense.
Yeah, the North American professional scene. There's actually four. Well, there's tons of professional scenes, but there's four that really anybody cares about.
So
right?
If you were to say the whole thing out loud, unabbreviated, it would be the League of Legends League Championship Series.
Right. Instead, people say the LCS because much like no one says the National Football League.
Yeah.
I'd say NFL.
That's fair.
So if we're talking North America, it's LCS. You've got the LEC in Europe, the LPL in China, and the LCK in Korea. Those other three only really matter a couple times of the year when there's international play. Normally, you've got the LCS and you play against other teams in North America.
I mean, the abbreviations throw me a little bit because I can see LCS, that makes sense.
Yep.
LEC kind of makes sense. LPL, that one... I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure I remember what they all mean because there's like the League of Legends Professional League.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, but it is
League
different.
League of Legends Champions Korea, I think, is LCK.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that explains sort of the differences between some of the different abbreviations. Okay. So this is what? A tournament?
Right. So, no, every year is broken into two major splits. You've got the spring split and the summer split. You play 18 games in each of them.
Well, and here's how it is. You're going to have a champion at the end of each split.
Right.
That's one thing that is very different from traditional sports. You're going to have a spring split champion. You have the mid-season invitational. Then you will have a summer split champion and a world champion.
Okay. So what's the difference between the two different types of champions, right? Like,
right.
Is there a different amount of money that they win? Is it sort of like, you know, how you have the WWE SmackDown champion, you have the Raw champion?
I actually know this one.
Oh.
The difference is that if you're North American, you can't be a world champion.
Well, historically speaking, Robbie, you are not wrong, because historically they have not been a world champion. If you win the spring split, at the end of 18 games, the top six teams get to compete in the playoffs to see who the champion is. Is there
one that is considered the definitive champion of the entire thing?
Oh, yeah. The world championships are second to none. The midseason invitational at the end of the spring split is great. It's the first international competition of the year. Everyone loves watching it, but... there's worlds and then there's
so the
everything
real
else.
So the real prestige is sort of reserved for worlds.
Yeah, and
yes.
to go to worlds, you have to win the summer split, which is what's going on right now, is the summer split.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. We're going through a brand new segment. We're calling it Esports for Your Dad, trying to, you know, kind of catch everyone up on what exactly the different sort of nomenclatures and abbreviations stand for when we start talking, you know, shorthand for esports.
Absolutely.
So, okay, we've got all of these different international tournaments.
Right.
So how are they organized among each other, right? So you have what, your champions going on to the international events?
Right. So whoever wins their regional seasons gets to compete at Worlds, and
okay.
You get different numbers of slots at Worlds based on how good your region has been.
Okay, but there's like 25 different teams.
Yeah.
Who am I trying to root for?
All right, so
of them are attached to cities, by the way.
And
they
that
are
is
not.
The difficulty, but there is kind of an inherent advantage. You're not also restricted to kind of rooting for the one closest to you. It's who do you like? So, I mean, if you're talking, you know, to someone on the radio here, we're talking North America. I don't think anyone's going to be too into like rooting for LPL or LEC teams.
No.
So let's talk North America. You got Team Liquid, probably the best team in the LCS right now, and maybe the best team ever in the LCS. They've got Double Lift. He's very charismatic. He's a very well-liked personality.
If you haven't
basically
met him in person, by the way, he's a great guy.
That's true. Yeah. Basically, you're Yankees fans, you're New England Patriot fans, people who really don't want to think too much about who they got to root for, go ahead and root for Team Liquid because they're the best team in North America.
Yep.
By the way, you can find our conversation with Double Lift over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Look at that professional plug. Well done.
Yeah.
You also got Cloud9, who's a legacy endemic team. They've been around for a long time. They were once unquestioningly the best team. It was basically them and Team Solo Mid fighting every match, but they've always kind of struggled on the international stage, except for last year, where they actually had a very good run at Worlds, which was impressive.
There's actually a Netflix documentary that follows Cloud Nine at sort of that period where they were sitting on top of the pile.
Yeah, because their story was weird. They were just like, hey, we're going to take the five best players we can find on ladder, and that's going to be our team. And it kind of worked. So yeah. There's also Team Solo Mid, who is a story team. They have been around since the very beginning. If you like teams with lots of history, who've been around for a while, and you know what? They're starting to really come back and get into the competitive side of things again, too.
That's right.
All right. I have to mention Golden Guardians because they are a team that just came around last year. They took dead last in both of their first two splits, and then they made the playoffs last split, and now they're kind of competitive this split. They're like, everyone kind of has lovable losers, right? And I don't want to say that they're a bunch of losers, but like, last year they really kind of were.
It's good to see them succeed.
Yeah, you're happy to see them succeed, which brings me to Counter Logic Gaming. And if you're looking for a team that, you know, maybe you're a fan of the Browns or the Lions, you know, you really like punishment, I can highly recommend Counter Logic Gaming. They can be tough to watch.
All right, there you go, dads. Have we run down esports good enough for you? Do you understand it now, or at least maybe have a foot in the door? We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
And if this piqued your interest and you actually want to watch some League of Legends, you can check out the LCS Saturdays and Sundays. That's at twitch.tv/riotgames.
All right, that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.